All right. I spoke to Father this week. He, Jesus, and HS all give you their love. Please do not take that for granted. And I give you my peace. Father said, Dear Team Triland, the spirit of defiance is now gone, and the team can move forward with joy and rebuild itself. I am happy that all of you have been fighting the hybrid demons. Triland will speak on this subject a little later. What shall we speak about? No, I am not going to chew you out anymore. All of your hearts have been changed and are willing to learn and move forward. Some of you have been struggling these past few weeks and have been pleading with me. I have heard your cries. We are on the cusp of many wonderful events, team. No, not Halloween. Just a little joke there. I'm speaking of the service for the departed. Your nation's Thanksgiving, Canada, celebrated theirs already. Oh, and that most wonderful time of the year, Christmas. Ah, yes. A time once a year where people actually make an effort to get along. We shall focus on the service for the departed. Over the past few years, many of you have learned of different realms. My son and Blazar compiled a list that he will send to you by next weekend. The newest realm my son and Starlight have heard of is a realm within the realm of the miscarried. It is a miscarried realm of the forgotten. What is the purpose of this realm? These souls were miscarried, and their parents did not even know they were pregnant. My son Triland's son Rudy came from this realm, and he currently works there with his grandpa and grandma Mueller. Over the next few weeks, I will reveal more realms to the team. Are you open to receive this information? I inform my son that all of you form together the pieces of a puzzle that create and conclude my end time plan. Is that not a bit overwhelming to hear? You may ask yourselves, why not the apostolate? The chief apostle has taken the road away from spiritualism, so I have no other choice but to assign these tasks to the team. What is spiritualism? The belief that the disembodied spirits of the dead surviving in other worlds can communicate with the living in this world through mediums. Just to interject a little here, you are not mediums. The doctrines and practices associated with this belief, philosophy, the belief that because reality is to some extent immaterial, it is therefore spiritual. Any doctrine in philosophy, religion, etc., that prefers the spiritual to the material, the condition or quality of being spiritual. This is a very large part of our lives. These men refuse to accept that there is actually another world where I would allow these souls to communicate with the living to share information. How is it that you are aware of these realms? I gave many of you exposure to them, did I not? And because of that act, many are now finding grace. I will tell you that I am disappointed in the brothers and their stiff-minded practices. I am not telling you that so you can judge them. What of Apostle Orlovsky? He is now focused on not listening to anything HS has to tell him about Triland. I will have HS go and speak to your disc apostle instead. No, the apostle is not a lost cause. No soul is. My plan team, as I have said in the past, will move at the pace I set for it and have compensated for free will. I will also say that the brothers, the church, and the world are not ready for what Triland has to tell all of them. I am moving many hearts once again. For the past 9 months, all of you have been put through a rebirth process. Triland figured it out last month. It takes 9 months for a baby to gestate, and that is the time I gave all of you to come around to become who I need you to be once again. Some of you fought me. Others gave into the process and have thrived. My son will elaborate on this topic as well. I can honestly say that I have birthed a beautiful team. Look at how open your hearts are towards one another. There is no more finger-pointing or dissension in the ranks. You love each other and are willing to help each other once again and accept help from one another too. Good, because in the future you will all need to lean on each other. I am very proud of all of you. Now, spouses, may I have a word with you, please? I know you find it difficult at times to understand why you are paired with this guardian. You feel insignificant and that you have no purpose. This is not the case. I will tell you that you are not created to do what the guardians have been tasked to do, so breathe easy. You will not destroy evil or give healings. Your task, I have said in the past, is support. In time, many will come to you, and through you, they will receive help from your spousal guardian. You can certainly speak of your own experiences that you have had with them and the help they have offered so to many. So please stop feeling that you have no purpose. I will define more for you as time goes by. For now, I just need everyone to work together on the team and in your own home congregations. Find your niche, please. Serve me in more than one capacity. Ask HS to reveal to you what else you can do. There is much for all. Once again, I'm happy to see all of your hearts mending and growing together. I will also share that Maddie's position on the team will not be replaced. I have 12 guardians, including my son, and that is all I need for now. Continue to do your dailies, meditate, and come spend time with us up here, over by the clouds and such. Stealing a little bit of my son's mafioso bit. I can do that, you know. I love all of you so much. So please now feel my blessing as it falls upon you. Take a big, deep breath. You spouses too. And yes, both of you, Fred and Kathy as well. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I find it interesting that the point came up that spouses will sort of corral people in, if you will, for the guardians. That actually happened with me and Lauren, with a couple of our mutual friends that we've had since college that have never seen us in this light. And
sweet.
We saw that. Actually, Triland, I think we shared a little bit of this with you, the friends in Kalamazoo who are pregnant.
Yes.
And it was, the experiences that we had were just so amazing, and I'm so thankful for it. And it's really cool to see all of this come together.
Good. Anybody else?
I was just thinking about how it is 9 months. It was interesting how the word changed and how he's been writing us and writing us and writing us and, I guess, nicely molding us. And it's interesting that that thought came to me a couple of weeks ago as well. It was like, it's been 9 months. I'm looking through the calendar. I'm like, that's weird. I wonder why. But that now that makes sense.
Here we are.
Yeah.
You spanked us all. We're all crying out loud. We're ready to move forward.
Truly, I feel it. Yeah.
There's a completely different energy on the team. I can feel all your hearts. Nobody is sad. Nobody's angry. Nobody's disappointed. I can tell you that Father wanted me to come and get his message, and I kind of looked up at him and went, what kind of a message is it going to be? And he smiled and went, no, I'm not going to be chewing anyone out. I went, okay, I'm coming. Hang on.
Did you said that the chief apostle
The chief apostle, he said, moves away from the road of spiritualism. And I have actually heard that from Orlovsky more than one time. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't think that members are given any insights or gifts, that everything that they should know is going to come from the Holy Spirit through the chief apostle, and that's it.
The way the chief apostle believes this, or Apostle Orlovsky believes this?
The chief apostle believes this.
I think that actually started with Chief Apostle Labor, because I remember a few years ago us being told that. And it originated when Chief Apostle Labor was the chief apostle.
Correct.
I remember
so this doesn't have anything to do with the departed, right?
It does. Not on the level that they believe that departed exists, and that they need to pray for the departed, and we need to have the services. What they don't believe is that a soul is going to come to a common folk member like us, share information with us and give us information that would help them move forward in realms, as Father said. He has revealed to this team many realms. I haven't even counted them up yet, but there's more than 30.
That makes sense.
Go ahead.
I was actually thinking, why? I mean, we're at this cusp of the services are departed, and all we're hearing about is how we need to have more offerings.
Yes.
Can I say something too? I'm just kind of confused why, if these souls aren't supposed to come through the common folk, then where are they supposed to come through? You said through the Holy Spirit, and then that's it. Well,
yeah.
If that's true, then why aren't we hearing experiences that these apostles are having these souls visit them, and then that's supposed to be, you know, expressed to us?
But that's just it. They're not, because they're not open to the idea that they would be allowed to come and talk to them. And I'll also tell you that the whole reason why this came about through the chief apostle Lieber was because back in the day, when the apostle Vovax were very active, they listened to a number of people who had gifts, and they took to heart what these people said about what they saw in eternity. And then a number of people saw that these people were getting a lot of attention and were standing in some kind of an authority. So all of a sudden, these other people started coming to the apostles saying, well, I saw this and I experienced that. And after a while, the apostles realized that these people were lying just to be brought into the limelight. And so the chief apostle at the time pretty much said, you know what, we're just not going to listen to anybody anymore. We're going to take what the chief apostle hears from the heart of the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to move forward with that information, and that's it.
Okay, I can see that. Okay.
Go ahead.
I listened with my husband to one of the apostle, the meetings that he holds for the ministers. And in that meeting, he talked about the chief apostle, current chief apostle, and what it was is that one sister had written in about a soul that she had seen that had, come and had a wonderful experience about this soul that had come to the altar and was sealed. And in the same service, another person had written in about the same service and had a horrible experience about the same person. And it was, in regards to someone famous, and it was a horrible experience in that they were tormented. And that was, who do you believe? And that the experience is for that person and that type of thing. And so you have one soul, two completely different experiences, and that is why our chief apostle does not put bearing on what somebody experiences.
Too bad he doesn't understand that time doesn't exist outside of this world, and that both things could have been true at the same time.
Oh, wow.
One could have been seeing what was happening before grace, and one was seeing what happened after grace.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I just think it's unfortunate because go ahead.
Not only that, but you have, the way I discern things typically is everything that is of Heavenly Father is edifying. For instance, like the example of, why are we, you have churches that talk about richness. You're blessed with material goods, and that's because you're rich, because God's blessing. And the other one is, you're rich in your spiritual life, and you're getting blessings from our Heavenly Father regardless of the circumstance that you find yourself in economically, Which one would be of Jesus? The one that edifies the soul.
Correct. Brilliant. You wanted to say something?
I was just going to say, I think that it's, I can understand from a managing the church standpoint to try to stay neutral when you don't understand, as Atmos was saying, that, not appreciating the fact that time doesn't stand in eternity. Because it says in Corinthians, all the gifts that come through the Holy Spirit, and our church believes that, you know, with baptism and holy sealing, we receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's, I can understand from a management standpoint to keep peace for people that, you know, don't understand, or like the Pharisees, they would bring conundrums to Jesus, right? They'd say, well, if this, then this, then explain that. And this could be one of those conundrums, right?
As yes.
Lightstar was saying, well, how can you have this and you have this? Contradictory things on the same day, same service about the same person. Because people don't understand or haven't appreciated that Atmos was saying that it's time doesn't exist there. And I can see from the chief apostle standpoint trying to manage people's emotions and stop the Pharisee-like progression of attitude that obviously does exist in every church. But it is unfortunate that they just had to shut everything down. Because, again, we receive holy baptism and holy sealing. We receive the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, it talks about the many gifts that the apostles were given and, you know, that believers of Christ are given. And that includes
correct.
Seeing that here.
Yes.
You know, and the tough part about this whole situation is that if you look up spirituality, it isn't what we are doing. Yet, that's the definition that I believe the apostles are looking at. And even in the
correct.
Bible, it says that we are not supposed to conjure spirits and talk to them and have seances and things. It doesn't say seances in the Bible, but that's what it's interpreted. But what we are doing isn't even close to that, yet the term spirituality, talking with the dead, that they believe that we're doing that. But what we're doing is totally different. And unfortunately, at this point in time, no one has reached out to any of us to ask us what it is. So they are in the dark.
Hey, I know.
I see it as a cop-out.
Well, yeah, but I know there's some friends we have down here that, without naming names, someone in my family down here mentioned about the souls and spirits and in general, like a basic general comment about that. And the person's reply, New Apostolic Forever, Lifer, said, oh, you believe in that stuff? So, and these are people that have been with the church forever. And so there's still that belief that other stuff, right? They don't, and
right.
That ended the conversation right there.
Sure.
You know, so we try to be very cognizant of what we share. Of course, all of us do. But these are good New Apostolics. These are people that, you know, you would be surprised, you know. And again, it like Jerry said, it could be a cop-out, but that's what they've been taught. There's no awakening. There's no understanding, and it's not a bad thing. It's just they don't know yet. And I like to use the word ignorant, in the truest sense. Not dumb, not stupid, but they're just ignorant. You know, the term ignorance is bliss. I remember saying that to Tryland years ago. I want to go back. I don't want to know. But they're just ignorant, and that's what Father said. The world is not ready. And not that I would never believe what Father said, but I would have to, you know, go yay. I agree with them. They're not ready.
Okay, so right. They're not ready, or they're not to from what I see, is they're not willing, they're not wanting.
You that's
know?
A good
I
point.
Mean, apostles are that are they're not even wanting, willing to use the gifts that God gave them in that ministry and trust. I'm not bashing them, but what I'm doing is that. How can you ask me to use my gifts in my congregation if you're not willing to use yours at all? You know what I mean? And
they're untrained. I mean, think about
it. That's exactly it.
I'll
also say this in defense of the apostolate. Their entire responsibility is to protect the doctrine and to make sure that no foreign spirits are allowed in
to influence anybody. So instead of cutting, for instance, us a little slack and seeing what works have we accomplished in Father's name, they just feel it's safer to just go, nope, I'm not going to allow anybody to say anything to me. I'm not going to be influenced in any way. And for now, that's why Father said they're stiff-minded practices. Those are his words. And it isn't time for them to actually accept what we're doing. And that's why Father said he's going to give this to the team. And we will accept it.
Sure.
We just have to add different parts to our prayers now, right? Instead of in generalities, listen to the Holy Spirit, but also accept the full responsibility of their gifts and talents, I guess. I mean, am I guessing wrong, or?
Can I say something?
Well, I mean, the apostles' ministry still has to baptize and seal the souls anyway, so.
That's right.
That, at least that's getting done. Our
yes.
job is, the members' job is to bring the souls to from eternity, pray for the souls in eternity that they may be able to come to the altar with the invitation. The jobs of those in eternity is to go out and not physically, but spiritually invite them and work with them.
Right.
And our job
Who wanted
is to
say
sure
something?
That conduits works.
Correct. Go ahead.
I have to admit that I've seen it growing up as a kid with my grandpa, and I've seen it mostly apostles in Canada. My brothers and I have called them Uncle Mark, Uncle Frank, Uncle John. You know, if all this stuff wouldn't have happened to my dad, I think I probably would have struggled just as much, because up until then, I was exposed very, very little. And for so many years, you were taught one thing by people that you respected so much that you felt were pioneers of the Lord's work. And it was just a point in Father's plan that of what needed to be mastered at that time. When the first apostles all died off, and so many years later, here came the apostles again, there were quite a few people who thought they were nuts, and a lot of stuff went off there. And even up until, well, there's still people who think we're nuts, having a living apostle. How can you have a living apostle? It doesn't make sense. It's not what we've been taught all these years. And yet we do, and it's the truth. And people like to be hold on to what they've been taught, who they've looked up to, and it's another phase, and it's going to take time for, especially here, the apostles who, you know, this is their life's work, to realize they're going to have to admit that what they did, they haven't been doing everything they necessarily had the ability to, and for them to
right.
say that they're wrong, that's going to take a lot. Because what they do, regardless if they're right, regardless if they're wrong, regardless if they're beating off the path a bit, they do in their mind out of love.
Correct.
And that is, you can't fault them for that. And we just got to be patient. Like Father is with us. I mean, when we all got our gifts, how many of us, right off the bat, 100%, said, yeah, I can do this. Yes, it's going to go this way. Exactly how Father has said it in trial and has told us, that's how it's going to go. Did we not have our hiccups? Did we not have our times where we stumbled? So we got to remember that and realize that it's going to happen to others too. And then it'll be a little bit easier for us to have patience, for us not to get as frustrated, because at the end of the day, for this plan to come to completion, we all have to work together. And right now, we're with the apostles' ministry, separated quite a bit. But maybe it's us that are going to have to take that step when the time is right, to be the bigger man or the bigger woman by being more humble and not throwing it in, not judging. Because I can only imagine how hard it is for them to hear all this stuff now after so many years when they're so confident and they have so much vigor in what they've received from the chief apostle, from their mentors, District Apostle Wagner, District Apostle Krauss, all over the world. And now they hear, you know, that what you did was fantastic, but in order for the plan to come to completion, we've got to change. And that's hard to do. That's just what I've, you know, felt and what I've seen in the eyes of our apostle and our former apostle.
Correct. I'll say two more things about this subject, and then we need to move it along, okay? The first thing I'm going to say is you have to understand something, too, that even though these men have been in their ministry as long as they have, I would pose this question to you. How long have you been a guardian, and how much has Father spent teaching us a different perspective or broadening our understanding of a basic topic that you and I thought we had a pretty good idea of, and I'm going to use this term, hybrid demons. We've known about demons ever since you were introduced to me and I trained you and all that, but yet there's a different facet to it. So you got to understand these men have only been told so much, they only understand so much. And the other thing I'm going to say is the men that are not going to accept the fact that Father has a different way of bringing information to this world through us are the ones that are probably going to end up leaving. But in my heart, I think to myself, some of them are going to realize that they need to come back because the doctrine is the same. We're not affecting that. All we're discussing is little semantics that broaden the faith or change the way you see something and understand Father as a whole. Okay? Speaking of hybrid demons, Father said at the beginning of this thing that I was going to expand on this, but in reality what I've asked is Light, Star, and Brilliance to actually expand on this a little bit. I will tell you that this was a complete test of your obedience to Father and myself, and to prepare all of us for the future. The reason why he did what he did through this exercise, is what I'm going to call it, is that he wants all of us to not hesitate ever when we're given information and that we act on that information. He also made the point in his address to us tonight that instead of giving me all the information and having me disseminate it through the team, he's now, from this point forward, going to reveal certain parts of different things to different team members, and then as a team, we're going to come together, and we're going to share that information with each other, and then by doing that, each of us has a different piece of the puzzle. We'll put the puzzle together as a team, and that's why Father said we're part of his end-time plan. We all need to be active. He's doing this as a team-building exercise, not to upset everybody or to frustrate you, okay? I don't want, as you hear what these two sisters are going to share with you, I don't want you to say to yourself, oh, man, I failed miserably. I didn't know that. I feel like an idiot. I'm a failure. That was not what this intent was for, okay? So keep a positive mind. I ask Lightstar to go first.
Okay. I'm going to give you my Cliff Notes version, literally. This is what I had written down. It came to me in a few days or over a few days. The first day was that Andreas isn't in connection with Satan. He is from his own commander, something different. Energy is different. Then the next day, we can't pog because it's a different energy. It's the same energy. And then I wrote, what? It's a test. And then I wrote, we need to be held accountable. We need to be self-aware. We can't help others if we can't protect ourselves. And then the next day I wrote, angels are disguised. They're sent from Father. Our POG isn't working because they are made up of our POG. Once I acknowledge this, they leave. My home is peaceful. So after I went through this, what it came down to is that these angels were sent from Father. They're disguised. And the reason our POGs aren't working is because our energy is Father's energy. It was given to us. And you can't use it on his energy, and the angels are his energy. We had to go hand-to-hand combat. For me, when it was a hand-to-hand combat and I did a strike, they just were gone. And when I looked at them differently, it was like this goofy, fake kind of costume. And once I acknowledged this, they were gone. There was no pestering, and it wasn't even like they were really attacking. It was kind of like they were just poking at you. And so for me, once I did all of this, it was completely fine in my home and completely fine with me. And the lesson that I learned with this also, and I hate to say this, I'm one of the first people that have said it, is that we were given free will, and I always have said, oh, you're the one that gave me free will. But I had this epiphany. Our free will was the most amazing, strong, and powerful gift we have ever been given. It is more intense than any pog or any sword or any weapon we could ever be given. And Jesus used it when he was being tempted. And he wasn't given a pog. And he wasn't given weapons from God to use against anything. He was given his free will to say, no, you get away from me. And that's all I had to do. No, I don't, you're not going to do this to me. And so we have to be held accountable, and we have to be able to do this. How are we going to teach people to defend themselves when they don't have these gifts that we have to be able to go after all of this stuff? We have to use our free will. So this was what the lesson was for me, and this is what the, you know, the thing for the hybrid demons, they were from on high. That's it.
Thank you. Brilliant.
So my experience was a little bit different. My experience started when we first got the hybrid demon email. The first thing that, like, resonated with me loud and clear is that the spelling, it was hybrid. Being a biologist, hybrid, like if you take two flowers and you cross-pollinate them, that's spelled H-Y-B-R-I-D. And again, not to be like a grammar lesson here, I get millions of emails at work where there's grammar and punctuation errors, and I'm a little bit of a grammar Nazi, but it leaves me, right? You read the email, you're just like, oh, that person has a typo, and move on. Well, this thing was lingering with me, like wouldn't, was just in my space, like it kept flashing and big, and it got bigger and bigger. And I didn't have any specific interactions with these demons, and so I was looking for them. I didn't find any, didn't see them, and previous to the, you know, when we were having the discussions, previous to the email, and in the email it said, go see Father. So I went to see Father, and it's interesting for me because typically when I go see Father, he doesn't really talk to me. Quite frankly, I just sit on his lap and just hug him, and we just kind of hang out. There's only been three, and this is the fourth time that Father's actually said something to me. It's quite exciting. So I went to see him, and I said, I was invited to come see you to talk to you about this specific thing. I do want to hug you and hang out with you, but I have to complete this task and be obedient. And he smiled. And then in the blink of an eye, we were on top of a mountain. I'm not much of a mountain climber, so this was an incredible experience. We are on top of this huge... This mountain was so high, I could see the. It felt like I could see the entire earth. It was the most beautiful thing ever, and it was just he and I, which is normally not just he and I, and it was very precious. And he was having me look around, and it was wonderful, and it was fantastic. But I was like, okay, so again, how about those things, the hybrids? And then he points his arm to look down, and I look down, and I can see this. Okay, so I'm looking at the back of this being, and I see these huge, like, ginormous wings sticking out of a box. So I guess the best way I can describe it, I was looking at the backside, and I can see these big wings come out, and then in the front and on the side, there's like, if you take a cereal box and you cut out just the back of it, that was like in front of this angel. And I'm like, okay, and then in a blink of an eye, I was in front of it, and I tried pogging it, and it nothing happened. But I could see that the backside of this angel was lighting up in the way that when I'm vetting God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or any being that comes into our space like we've been taught, you know, you pog it and it just like absorbs a pog, but in that yummy way. And I'm like, huh. And so I take out my sword and I hit it and it poofs. It doesn't like die like when I'm normally in battle. So that's in that instantaneous moment, it all came to me. High bread, these things were created by Father from the highest. And I was like, oh, I see what you did there. So the lesson for me too, number one, the gift of free will. Only humans have free will. Every other aspect of God's creation hasn't been given free will. I mean, I know some of us think our dogs are like real humans, but they don't have the same type of free will that we have where we make decisions. I mean, this is part of how we are a direct reflection of Father. When Father said that God, you know, God made us in his image, free will is a big part of that, right? And originally, when he put Adam and Eve on this earth and in his image, his intention was that we were going to reflect him in creation, in his artistry, in his procreation, and that we were going to take care of this. Not that we're gods, but the gifts that he gave us are direct reflections of him so we could be him on this earth. In fact, it's why he says, don't make any graven images, because we are his images. So the gift of free will, only humans have it. And as we were having, you know, this discussion and this information was coming into me, with this free will, well, with this experience, with these angels, this wasn't Satan. This wasn't evil. So we can't say the devil made me do it, or, you know, the spirit made me do it, or this demon made me do it. No, we have the power to make these decisions. Now, don't get me wrong. Evil is incredibly persuasive. It's incredibly tempting. It starts with a little bit of truth, and then it molests the truth. It justifies when I'm being less than a servant, when I'm being the human side of myself. It's like the spirits line up with excuses and reasons why, you know, I'm justified to make these ungodly decisions. And the reality is that our free will is greater than anything Satan can put towards us. It may be the most difficult decision we make in a day, but peace, joy, happiness, servanthood, humility, humbleness, those are choices. And again, sometimes life gets so crazy it doesn't feel like we have a choice, but we have to dig down because the devil doesn't make us do anything. We choose that. And the great news is, even if we make a mistake, we have a forgiving God. He's the God of a million chances. But we can't be a servant if our will isn't Father's will. The second was that this exercise was also put there to expose our natures. Right? So this wasn't evil influencing us. This wasn't the devil making us do anything. So if we take a look at this experience for each one of us and how it looked, it was an opportunity to expose the gracious, wonderful weaknesses that Father gave us, because we can't fix something we don't acknowledge. And again, since this wasn't motivated by evil, because these were angels, hybrid angels created by Father, Father's been bringing this about our natures and what a servant looks like and giving up, you know, making our will in alignment with his. He's been bringing this to our attention for months. In fact, we learned today, 9 months. And so that was the lesson for me. It's a lesson and a reminder. Again, our free will is stronger than anything. It is truly a gift. It's the one thing that separates us from the rest of God's creation. It doesn't seem like a gift sometimes. I often say to Father, are you sure about that free will thing? Trilin and I joke about it all the time. So it's personal accountability, and here's the great news. With God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the services, Scripture, our teammates. I mean, you can talk to some of my teammates. We talk on a regular basis because there are just weeks where you need to lean on somebody else who loves God as much as you do and get a different perspective. I just want to add one more thing, because this is something that happened recently. I didn't get a chance to even tell Triland about it. When you had mentioned, Triland, that there are things that we don't even know yet, ironically, I had a healing from Blazar on Friday. It was a long one. It was a good one. And in this healing, there was a box in my third chakra, and there's maps in there that I have to become familiar with, but there were also scrolls in there that had different creatures. I couldn't. There'd be a picture of the creature, and then there was writing that I couldn't understand. But as I was pulling these things out, some of them I pulled out was what I'm going to call the cereal box demon, a.k.a. hybrid demon. And because we had, as a team, identified what this looked like, it was the only one that I could read. And so that one's up on the wall now. But there's hundreds more. So I'm really excited that we're being encouraged as a team to share and share, you know, what we witness, to share what we experience, even if it seems weird, even if it seems insignificant. We all are so valuable to this team. That's why God created it, right? We could have just had Triland do everything. And it would make all of our lives easier, and it would be really cool. But he made a team because we're not given all the same gifts. We're not given all the same talents. And that's going to force us to rely on each other. If he'd given any one of us everything, then that person wouldn't need anybody else. So I'm super excited and super encouraged that we're being encouraged to share with one another, because that is how we're going to learn. And we, I dare say, we have to learn quickly.
Amen. Thank you, Lightstar and Brilliance. I just want to add a few things, and then we'll just completely open this up to anything that anybody would like to add or question. Firstly, I would like to say that when I was very specific with my instructions to you, can you see now why I didn't want you capturing these creatures and imprisoning them? Because you basically would have been imprisoning an angel. I'll also share with you that I didn't know that these things were angels incarnate, that they were not really demons. But I did notice that when I was dispatching them, that even before my sword got a quarter of the way through them, they were like shaving cream. They were just falling apart before I even finished the swipe through them. So I already was now investigating for myself, well, what is this about? And then I'll also share with you that when Tranquility sent her email, I want everybody to know that I'm not discouraging you from telling me what you think or what you feel when we're on a team call, or if you have a question or concern about something that you email us and you ask, okay? When it comes to me giving a direct order or specific instructions, I need you to follow through with them and not question why, and then trust that down the road I will give you the information, or what might even happen, you may be given the information before I'm even given it. And as a team, we come together then and we figure it out. Father's favorite saying is every opportunity is a learning opportunity. That's why I put that in the email to all of you. And I will also say, I already thank Tranquility for having the courage to say what she did in the email, because I'll tell you this. Because of that email, HS spent a lot of time with me, and through the email that I sent to all of you, we all learned a whole lot more about how angels and demons think, how they function, how Father views them, how everything actually comes together on a whole new level of understanding that we never had before. So always understand that when you have something that's in your heart and you mean it for good, that's coming from the Holy Spirit. Granted, you have your own free will, and now you fight your own instincts sometimes, and you think to yourself, nah, I better just keep this to myself. Don't. We are a team, and I love you guys more than you'll ever know. And I am so proud of all of you. I will tell you that we have now spent, prior to me switching topics, we spent 30 minutes on Father's message, and almost all of you had something to contribute. That is what these meetings are for. I want everyone to feel that you can give your point and your opinion, because as each one of you spoke, could you feel the people on the other end of the phone going, huh, I didn't think of that. That's a unique way of looking at it. That's a wonderful perspective. Father has given all of us each other, because we're going to need to lean on each other, he said, down the road. Okay? Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or any questions they'd like to ask about this?
Ooh,
go now.
I got a couple things. I just want to say thank you to Brilliance and Lightstar, because that's a lot of confirmation, and it makes me feel a little bit better about what's been going on here the last couple weeks. And I just want to say, too, that I think over the last three meetings or so, I think as a team we have honestly learned more in the last three meetings than we probably have all learned together in the last year. I hate to say that, but I think it's true.
I would agree with you.
I think Father's really unleashed this team and their talents. And Q and I have had conversations, you know, kind of around this thing, and we're starting to see some things come to light, I think, that we've discussed where, you know, we all have different gifts and abilities, and to see that Father's going to open those up and allow us all to start using them is pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
I had something else to say. I just find it also after the fact, I mean, it seems like a doy kind of moment, you know, but these hybrid demons, it wouldn't make any sense how they came from Satan because, I mean, he can't create anything else. He just took with what Father had. So how did he create these new things that we now have to fight? It makes more sense if they came from Father because, I mean, he's the creator, right?
Right.
Sorry, I just throw that out there.
And it's a great topic. I'm so glad you said this because a recent experience, since we're encouraged to share, right to your point, that I recently meditated and had the exact same discussion or experience that you're talking about, is that God's the only one who can create. Okay? He is the creator. So Satan can, as you said, cannot create anything. Understand that he is the master manipulator. It's one reason that when you can get to the point and feel really excited that you get to make decisions about your behavior, is that he can't create anything. He has to go before the throne every day and ask God what he can and can't do. But beware, because he has been there since let there be light. He was Lucifer. So although he cannot create, he knows mankind better than we know ourselves. I mean, I've only known mankind for 44 years. He's known mankind since let there be light. So the confidence that we have is he cannot create anything. He can manipulate stuff. He knows man's temptation better than anyone
mm-hmm.
else. And think about this. You know, Blazer was talking about the fact that Jesus didn't use superpowers against evil. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The third temptation after Jesus had fasted and prayed for 40 days, what was that third temptation? He said, this is what Satan said, "If you bow down before me, all this will be yours." But you can't offer something that's not yours. Right? Like if I were to go to Blazar and say, "Hey, Blazar, look at that Ferrari. You want to have it?" He'd look at me and say, "Is it yours? Because if it's not yours, you can't give it to me." So Satan has some authority on this earth, or otherwise he couldn't have even offered something that wasn't his. So we can't underestimate his creativity, his manipulation of what's been created, his understanding of human nature. It's profound, so don't underestimate it. But be confident, as we're talking right now, he can't create anything. One of the reasons that I'm saying this, too, is if you're not sure what Satan has tried in the past, take a look in the Bible. I dare say that there isn't an experience, a temptation, that human beings haven't been confronted with that isn't discussed in the Bible. Ego.
Correct. He has an old bag of tricks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So if you're facing something that you're really just having a hard time with, I highly encourage you to call one of your teammates. And maybe someone new. If you've talked to the people you normally talk to and you're just feeling like, "I need something more," reach out to someone you haven't talked to before, because maybe the person you're inspired to speak to went through this exact same temptation. So thanks for bringing that up, Aerostar.
I heard something really cool in service today. And the priest mentioned, he goes, "Do you guys remember when they did the change to the Lord's Prayer, you know, and it says, 'Deliver us from evil,' and then they changed it to 'Deliver us from the evil one,' right?" And he's like, "Raise your hand if you think that was kind of weird or you didn't like it," you know. So I raised my hand, you know. And then he said something that really gave me an introspect, is the evil one is the one, Satan, that is trying to use these old bag of tricks against us. He can only attack us in our sin. He can only attack us in our temptation. He cannot make a new temptation for us. He cannot find a way to unleash everything that he wants to do. It's not going to happen. but only through our sin and our temptation that we allow him, because we invite the door, just as, you know, the millions of years that Eve was listening to him, because that was her temptation. And that is where we have to build up our strength, our own free will in which we are able to say, Satan, get out of here. You know, and Jerry, stop doing that stupid stuff. You know, be a man and stop doing that stuff. You know what I mean? And that is where, if Satan only has power when we give him power. And
correct.
That's how you defeat Satan. You defeat Satan by your own free will, just as the same way that Jesus Christ did for 40 days and 40 nights. It just only says the really three big ones, you know. And on the Ferrari, depends on what model.
Okay.
Well, you know, to your point, Blazar, it was inspired while you were speaking. It came to me that, okay, so this exercise, again, was to show us what some of our weaknesses are, because they're hard to admit. We've had them forever, right? They seem like just who we are. The ones that are really, really tough that we continue to work on, well, let's just say it's an issue with, you know, okay, so my nature is being a confrontational right fighter. I like fighting. I enjoy it. I metabolize information quickly. I can talk faster than any, you know, proper Chicagoan can. In my nature, I love it. I love debating. I love battle. And I've had to learn that winning at all costs, sometimes there's too many casualties. But my nature loves it. My energy gets fast. I run with hot, fast energy anyways. I get a high off of, like, having these debates and stating my point and crushing the opponent. I have to, because when Father made me aware of this, and I've been working on it for a decade, I was given a completely new perspective, and the only reason I could find the strength to do it was because of what Blazar just said, is that Father was kind enough to say, okay, is it that important for you to be right? Because you do realize that while you're busy being right, right defined by you, Heidi, not defined by me, but anyways, do you see the separation you're creating with the other human being that you're interacting with? And I was creating separation. I don't care if it was a tiff with my sister, a tiff with a loved one, a tiff with a total stranger. It created separation, because that's what Satan wants. Sin is separation from God. If we don't get a hold of our natures, and first, again, we can't fix something that we don't understand or acknowledge or know about ourselves. Once I realized what what a confrontational right fighter I was, I started asking people, how do you feel after you leave a conversation with me? And some people said, you're incredibly intimidating. You're loving, but intimidating. Or, I don't feel like I can even, I don't even feel like I can talk to you. You know, my husband just said, it's not even worth it, because you won't let go. You're like a pit bull. And that was really incredibly discouraging. I didn't even know that about myself. I mean, it wasn't like I was a mean right fighter. I was a very pleasant, joyful, but manipulative right fighter. I did.
You can't win in an argument with her.
Yeah, you can have a Blazar.
What's the point?
And it's funny.
Exactly.
But the problem here is that you can use your superpowers for evil or for good. So I need to use my right fighting nature either to bring people closer together, or I can separate myself from them. I'm not a servant if I'm separating. So I got many more skeletons in my closet, but my point is this. If you catch yourself in that moment and you feel your energy's hot and you feel either anger or sadness, whatever it is, because our emotions can be a barometer for, hey, this isn't right. If you're not joyful, happy, and peaceful, your emotions are telling you we're going down the wrong path here. See what's going on. Put light on that. And make sure you're bringing people together instead of separating them, because that's where our free will has the power over Satan.
Correct. Let me just throw this in quick. It's a minute before the hour's up. Is everybody okay with us going for another 15 or 20 minutes? If you don't want to, I understand if you want to leave the call, but there's still some things I want to discuss with everybody. And if anybody else would still like to comment, please feel free to. So go ahead.
I vote for continuing, and if I can make a short comment.
Sure.
Concerning our own free will, it's really nice, the picture that's been painted for us about our free will, because so many times most of us as New Apostolics think that we don't want our free will, get rid of it. But it was really illustrated that our free will is the most powerful thing that we have. So then it becomes our choice. We align our free will with our Heavenly Father's will. And that's a big distinction between, I don't want my will, I want Father's will. It's better. I want to adjust my will to fit Him. It's a nice way to look at it.
Thank you, Nan. Because I was like trying to beat the crap out of mine. I was.
But then it pushes back.
I was strangling it, you know, and throwing it in the ground and beating it around like the Hulk did to Loki, you know, and, you know. And
but
here I am using
back.
A tool. No, I'm using a tool that, it, you know, like you can use a monkey wrench for a hammer, right? You get the same job done, you know, but, it, you know, you use a monkey wrench for a pipe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anybody else? Okay. I want to discuss briefly what is everybody's preparation prior to getting ready for a team call. I had a couple conversations with some of the teammates over the last month or so, and some of them kind of said I didn't really know that there was a preparation. So I'll share with you what I do. The minute that we are on the call here, you might hear typing going on in the background. That would be me taking notes of things that people have said that I think maybe we need to expound on, and I add it to next month's criteria. Then what I do is, over the next couple of weeks, I have conversations with you folks, and you bring things to my attention, and I add them to the itinerary. I also spend time with Father and HS. I ask HS all the time, please move the team's heart, that they'll bring out something if it's bothering them or concerning them. Again, I'm going to emphasize, this call, this meeting that we have is not mine, it's ours. So I want you to know that prior to being on the call, you should already be grounded, you should be in the center of your mind, and you should be ready to go with anything that's on your heart. And if you want to send me an email or a text like the week prior to the meeting and say, hey, can we discuss this? I'll add you to the itinerary and we'll make room for it. The biggest thing I'm going to impress on everyone is you can't just show up to the team meeting and go feed me. That's just like us showing up for service. We're not prepared. We didn't ask Father for anything. We didn't bring our offering. We didn't ask for forgiveness all week. We just showed up and went, okay, here I am. Give me what you got. Honestly, I'll just be honest with you. I think that's rude because all of us are in this together, and I think everybody, as you've shown this evening, has something they can add. And there's a perspective that each of us has that the other person doesn't. And I'll say this. Father has imbued every single one of you with wisdom. It's our responsibility to ask HS to show us that wisdom in everything that we do. Look at what's come out of tonight's meeting. I am stoked about the way we look at free will now, at the way we look at eternity, at the way I look at each one of you. I sit in awe of all of you and how you view life and how excited you are to be a guardian and what's coming from this. I'm going to ask everybody that prior to getting on the call from this point forward that you pray during the week and you ask Father to move my heart, that I bring out His will to you, because I do. I pray before I come on the call. That's why I always show up 5 minutes before, because I'm prepping for the meeting. I actually spend anywhere from an hour to 35 minutes before I get on the call, making sure I have Father's message right. I'll actually spend the whole week reading Father's message to myself out loud sometimes, just to make sure I don't sound like a bumbling fool. And then I have Father's intonation when I'm delivering it to you, because it's that important that you know how Father was when he was saying these things to you. So I'm going to ask everybody, make sure you're praying for each other too. Is there something that you know about another teammate that you feel perhaps you should bring to my attention? Okay, this is not a ratting out situation, but maybe you had a conversation about a teammate that you felt was down. It recently happened. Someone reached out to me and said, hey, I got a feeling about this teammate. I sent him a text. Can you check up on him too? And we both did. And I told that person, because they asked, did I speak to that guardian? I said, I sure did. And I want you to know that you're loved and supported, and we're here to help you. And the person responded back with, I sure can see that. I want everybody to know that you are not in this by yourself, because Satan's going to tell you that you're a team of one. You don't need help. You can do this all on your own. God's picking on you. No, he's not. We're all in this together. Does anybody have anything to add at this point?
I do have to say that I don't know how it goes for brilliance and as a general and the teammates that are under brilliance versus the one that are under crisis, but I just have to say that I feel like having the generals kind of split up between teammates and teammates kind of split up, for me it feels a bit divisive. I kind of feel like maybe I can't reach out to those that aren't on trisis's. Under Trisis, because I know that they're my teammates, the ones that are under brilliance, but I've always felt there's a bit of a division there. So
let me
know that's probably not the right feeling to have, but that's
right.
Kind of what I felt.
Let me just clarify why I did that. When I got so many of you under me, I couldn't manage all of you with all the things that you needed at a certain point, so that's why I created the two generals. At no time have I told anybody that you can only talk to your general or you can only talk to the people on your side of the team. Please, let's rip that wall down completely. And just because I'm asking you to communicate with your general doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you anymore. Okay, I'm tearing all those walls down. There has to be some kind of order and a chain of command, because I have a life too, and you have no idea. There was a point where I actually had six of you reaching out to me at one point, and I literally sat there and I looked at Father, and that's when he said, you need a little help, boy. And that's why he actually told Moses to create a little bit of hierarchy there under him too, and that's what I did. Okay, so if you want to talk to anybody at any time, please do that. You can call. If you're under brilliance, you can call Trisis and vice versa. If you want to call any one of the guardians on the team, please do so. It's so important that we all build a friendship and a relationship with each other. I am the only one out of all 11 of you that knows all of you. I know your hearts. I know your struggles. And if you feel that you want to discuss anything with anybody at any time, that is, again, your free will. And I'm not going to tell you you can't. But I'm going to say this, that if you're having a struggle with something and you don't feel comfortable sharing it with your general, then call me. Okay? Does that answer your question there?
I've called both generals.
Hang on a second. Blazar, hold on a second. Go ahead, Atmos.
I always felt like I could reach out to the others, but I felt like I shouldn't because of that, just that specific chain of command. So thank you for kind of opening that up. Appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing it up.
Yes, I wanted to say thank you so much for bringing that up. And as a general, I'm going to say that I apologize to you if that wasn't communicated earlier. I want you to know that Trisis and I, we do talk, and we are brother and sister. He's a little bit higher on the food chain than I am, but we love each other. And
we get paid the same, so that's okay.
Exactly.
And he and I have no ego and pride in this. We're a team. And so if either one of us or any of us have ever planted that seed unintentionally, please forgive me. Please forgive us. Because, again, maybe we just haven't done a great job in communicating that, but know that your generals love every single one of you. And the last thing you would want is any separation.
This is not the military. This is not the U.S. military where you're going to go over someone's head. That's not the case in any way.
No.
And Atmos is, I mean, it's a complete joy to talk to. I mean, I talked to Trisus when, just to call and say hello.
Yeah.
And Hulk, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. I just want to say hi. You know.
Yeah. I've even missed some of his phone calls because I don't realize that it's him calling. I got a new phone and I'm like, Billings, Montana. Must be accredited.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've got everybody's phone programmed different now, so it recognizes the name. So I apologize if I've not taken anybody's phone calls this last week.
So now that I have you on the phone, where are you going to pay your bill?
Crap. I'm losing you.
We're all a team. And we're all in support of one another, and that's the greatest thing. None of us are, you know, Triland has a great responsibility, and his responsibility has to deal with managing this team and getting himself into that Triland-ness that he needs to get into. But he's not Mr. Fix-It. You know, all of us have our struggles, and all of us are willing to help each other. And so we have our generals, we have Starlight, we have each other, that we can rely upon each other. And we're there to support. My success is all of your success. That's the way I view it. If this team is successful, then I'm able to be successful. And it's truly a joy when we talk to each other. I mean, Dan and I will go on for hours.
That's why he's not taking my call.
No. That's right.
Perfect. Yeah, Atmos, call anybody at any time, honestly, or text. I mean,
yeah.
Really, please.
Nice. Okay, I have two more things I wanted to share with you. I've had two separate conversations with two completely different people, and they said to me, have you ever had that situation where you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a bonus this month, we're going to finally get ahead, or I'm going to have a little extra paycheck, we're finally going to get ahead, and then Father throws a curveball at us, and what we thought we would have as extra is actually needed to exactly cover the faux pas that took place in our lives financially. And I laughed, and I said, well, you know, it's actually Jesus' fault. And they looked at me funny, and I said, well, didn't he teach us how to pray to Father? He said, give us this day our daily bread. I said, so what I've been doing recently is I say to Father in that moment, give us this day our daily bread and a little extra. I said, because if you don't ask, you don't get. I said, so I'm going to share that. So my father looks at me and he goes, uh-huh. I said, hey, you don't ask, you don't get. So I'm sharing with the team. So if you feel that you need a little extra, then ask Father. Okay? Because he is going to give us our daily bread, which always amazes me, too, that the faux pas that takes place is almost the exact amount of the bonus I was getting or the extra money I was going to have in my paycheck. And I look at him and go, really? Come on. I would have given you half of it, but I can't now. Now I got to pay for that. Yeah, he doesn't believe that either. The other thing I wanted to share with you was a moment that Father shared with me. I went and saw him. And he has said to me for a very long time, he goes, you still have a difficult time understanding that I created your brother, then I created you, then I created HS, and that you've been with us before time began. He said, so I'm going to slowly remind you of those times that you were with us and you don't remember. And I went, okay. So he goes, do you remember this? And all I saw was the back of Father standing in front of what looked like a dry eraser board. And Jesus was standing on the right side of me, and we were both standing behind Father. And Father wrote on this board, girl, and then below it, he started to list this shortcomings of this girl, and then he wrote a column of strengths for this girl, and then he wrote below that the educational path that he wanted this person to take, And then he also put different life choices that this person could take. And I just stood there for a minute kind of going, okay, well, this is incredibly interesting. And then Father stopped for a second, and he put his finger to the bottom of his chin over his lips, and he stood there for a minute holding the pen, staring at the board, and it felt like an eternity passed. And I looked at him, and I went, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm trying to figure out what parents to give this child to. Hold on a minute. And then he wrote the parents' names off to the right side of the board. And then he wrote some other things that I couldn't read. And then on the bottom of the board, on the right side, he wrote the name Mary. And he turned to me, and he looks at Jesus. And I looked at him, and he goes, yes, that's Jesus' mother. And this is how I make every soul. And I looked at Jesus, and I went, congratulations on your mom. How cool is that? And then Father looked at me and he goes, and to this day, boy, this is how I make every soul. Because Starlight had asked him at one point, what do you do all day long? You know, not in a disrespectful way. And he actually took her and showed her. He stood her on the edge of the universe and showed her that he's creating more solar systems. But then on a separate conversation, he said, I do that. But then I'm also creating souls. And he said, that point that I showed you where I created Mary was before time even began. That is the time that I spent creating mankind before I even created Adam and Eve. He had all of these souls. He already had outlined their lives for them. And for me, I sat in that moment incredibly humbled that Father spends that much time on every single soul. And I thought to myself, he's already told us that there's a little piece of him in every human being. It still hasn't deterred me from calling that little piece of human being inside of that person in front of me a bonehead or a chucklehead. But I will say that I now hesitate a little bit more because I think to myself, the reason why that person is acting that way is because Father put that in that person to be that way to teach me how to love them in spite of that shortcoming that may irritate me. So I'm throwing that out to the team that you and I have been taught by Father to love everybody. It's not an easy task, but he already said he created us to handle impossible, and that's nearly an impossible task. But Jesus was able to do it. And I'll also share with you, I gave Starlight a healing, and in that healing, Father said to us, because of the love that the two of you share, I need you to love mankind more than I expect anyone else to love mankind. And he looked at me and he goes, and do not think for a moment that when your brother was here, he didn't bite his tongue and not say the things that he wanted to say and quiet his mind before he thought the things that he wanted to say. And that struck me to the core. We have to be mindful of what we think and what we say. And we need to be mindful that those words that we say can hurt that soul that we're directing them to, even though they don't know we said them. Because we are Father. We represent Him. And that became more of a reality for me in this past month. Any questions? Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
I have it's a change of subject, but...
Go ahead.
So, this thing that happened in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows it's horrible. But what I find is really sad is the fact that I tend to talk in generalities. The lack of Father interceding for those souls or prayers. You know what I mean? And to what I see is, you know, humanity is something happens and everybody has their opinion and their quick fix for what the situation is.
but this such a lack of praying for or praying for forgiveness or praying for God's help that this doesn't occur again. You know, it's like, for instance, like if you have a hurricane come in and everyone's like, well, why isn't FEMA fixing this? You know what I mean? As opposed to praying, dear Father, help me get through this. Protect my state from getting hit from a horrible hurricane again like this. I mean, what I see is it's just like this goes on and then all of a sudden it's just going to be a wave and another wave and another wave of horrible things until man is brought down to their knees.
Well, I have an opinion that I feel strongly. Many souls who enter into eternity today, it may very well be that the time is shortened to the point where this might be their opportunity to find grace. Because there are only, relatively speaking, a handful of God's children who can reach out and touch the souls who are living today. And Father knows all and sees all and allows all of this. And I have to be convinced that engineers some, not, I mean, I hate to say he engineers that particular type of situation, but the point is, if a soul has to enter into eternity to get there and say, oh, okay, I'm still alive. Okay, now what? Well, they've asked the question. Now they can find out. So it could very well be that all of this stuff that's happening, and when we read in Revelation that all of the things that would happen, the wars and the hurricanes and the weather and all the problems, many souls right now are being thrusted into eternity so that someone can help them. Because, and I'm not saying that it's easier for them to be helped, but potentially it's easier for them to get help there. Because look at all the distractions in this world.
Thank you for that.
Anybody else?
Akos and I dropped off.
No problem. Okay. The list that's been comprised of the realms, I have a little over 36 of them. I asked Starlight to expound on the realms that she's gone to, so we're going to take this week to elaborate on them, and then I will email everybody the list. Our next meeting is on Sunday, November 12th. That'll be the last meeting for the year because we don't have meetings in December because of the holidays. There was a number of things that I wanted to discuss again today, about six, that I've moved to the next itinerary. I want to thank everybody for calling in and participating and making this one of the best meetings I feel we've had in a long time. I asked Aerostar to pray with me after we close. So if there isn't anything else, then I'll pray with everybody and thank you for staying on the call a little extra. Appreciate it. I will pray with you. Kind Father, we come before you and we say thank you first for the time that you've given us to become the guardians that you want us to be, even though we fought you kicking and screaming sometimes, or maybe we didn't completely understand everything that we were going through. You certainly do give us the insight, you give us the light and the understanding, and you teach us and you've shown us for sure that every opportunity is a learning opportunity. I am so proud of this team, Father. We have come so far in such a short period of time. And even our understanding, Father, of different things have been broadened to an entirely new level that I never thought was possible. And it's all because of you. There are desires and concerns that rest on the hearts of our teammates and their spouses, for their children's and for our future, and for all the things, Father, that we struggle through. But the one thing that's constant that's in all of our hearts, Father, is the appreciation and the love that we have for you, for giving us this time to spend together. You've been sitting on the edge of your throne the entire time as we talked. You made very few comments to us. You are very proud of all of us. And we are thankful that you can call us your guardians. See, Father, the concerns that rest on us, give us the courage, the strength, the willingness, and the understanding to fight through the difficulties that we have as far as our own shortcomings are. Give us the ability to control our own free will, as our big brother has taught us so often that the best response is no response, that the best thing we can do is to have no comment. And then teach all of us, Father, how to quiet our minds so we don't even think these things. That seems like an impossibility to myself, I think. But you are the one who gives us all these abilities and gifts, and you can inspire all of us to control our thoughts and our minds. We pray for the leadership of our church because we know, Father, it must be frustrating for you too. We try our best to support in the congregations. We will find our niche as you have asked us, and we will participate in anything that we can find ourselves to fit ourselves in, to have HS show us where our gifts and talents lie, that we can be a participant in all the congregations that we serve in. Provide for the for our guardian friends here financially and spiritually what they need, and health-wise as well. We've all been kind of going through different roller coaster rides of health, and it's through you, Father, that we receive your grace and your strength. Our big brother gave us an extra portion of strength today. I forgot to tell the team that we usually only get a minimum of 50 times of strength is usually what we get on every time we participate in Holy Communion, but today we got twice that, so 100 times. That's amazing, and we appreciate that, Jesus. Thank you for your love. We pray for our fellow guardians that couldn't be on the call, and if there's something, Father, that we've forgotten, I know you'll cover it. Eternity is in the foremost of our heart. The groups that we know of, Father, are not even close to what is there, and you will in time now share with other guardians what other realms are. We will put that on the list, and we will continue to pray for everyone who's been representative that has come to us. Our brothers and sisters continually tell us that they need more prayers for eternity, and we will do this. We're but 3 weeks away, or 2 weeks away from the preparatory. And we pray, Father, for a beautiful, successful day in both of those services. Everything we lay in your hands and your heart, if there's something we've forgotten, then I know you'll cover it. And in your name, Father, we ask these things and know how much we love you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over us this evening and allowing us all to come together in this meeting. We look back at today's service and we see that the most important gift that we can give you and everyone else is our free time and our free will. We can give each other money and monetary things, but when it comes down to it, our free time is what's most important. Please open more doors and windows for us that we can have new opportunities that come to us every day and allow us to express our good deeds to others and therefore be ambassadors to you and to Tri-Land. We look not only at the material where some are searching for jobs and some are in the process of potentially getting them. We pray for them right now that when the time comes that they're taken care of. Let us not look at ourselves as insignificant, and when we start to waver and falter a bit, that we lean on each other and that we know that we're there to catch each other in case anything goes awry. Thank you for everything that you've given us. Please let next month's meeting be as uplifting as this one has. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Love all you guys.
Love you too.
Have a great week.
Night.